Good evening. If you have your Bible, please turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. As we continue on the theme, I love you because, with an emphasis on focus, I'd like to just place a few scriptures before you as we set the lesson up. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Is what I would like to read into your hearing as one of the foundational scriptures that will help us to launch into it. In Colossians 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." As I think about focus and doing those type things, this is my prayer for the Arlington congregation, that we will be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom. And as a result, if we are filled with those things, I know that we will be focused. We will be about God's business, doing things the way that he will have us to do it. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians as we look at another passage right to the right of this as we set this up. We'll look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1. I don't intend to be long. If you pay close attention, say amen, we will get out of here in about 30 minutes. I told y'all that last week, and I kept my word. We got out in 25 minutes. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. We all need to have a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we have those things, we're going to maintain and we're going to continue to be focused. Being focused is what we have to do. We need spiritual understanding, but with that spiritual understanding, we know we need a labor of love, a patience of hope, as well as a work of faith. Now I would like for you to meet me in Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to read a familiar passage to all of us. In Matthew chapter 25, we will start in verse number 14. In life, we all have potential. In life, we all have ability. In life, we all have opportunity. In life, we all have responsibility. Those things that we do with our responsibilities, our opportunities, and our abilities, they will determine our destiny. They will determine the outcome of the things that we do in life, whether it be good or bad. In Matthew 25 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to the other 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went out, digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, weeping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, as we look at this lesson, we see that talents are given according to ability. We see that we all have talents. We can see from the outset that God expects a return on his investment. We can see that God will reward those who maximize their ability. God also will punish those who don't maximize their ability. See, potential without action is unprofitable. Potential with action pays. Everyone's talent is important to God, no matter how big or small it is. Everyone's talent is significant to the sustaining and supporting of the local church. God gives us time. However, we only have limited time to accomplish the task we have been assigned to do. God knows what we can do and will not demand of us what cannot be attained. God's requirements of us are definitely geared toward our ability to meet them. First point I want to look at is in verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 says, now to one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Now, when you look at that, the Lord expects us to use our ability and our talent. Some of us, when it comes to using our talents and abilities, we're very great when it comes to the professional world, meaning we are go-getters when it comes to career and making more money, attaining designation. We are Johnny on the spot when it comes to that. But maybe when it comes to spiritual things, we don't have that same zeal or that same mindset. But when you think about talents and everything, God expects us to be well-rounded people. He expects us to utilize our talents when we're at work, as well as when we're in the church. He also wants us to utilize our talents there. So which requires that we are constantly continuing to make sure that we're focused, to make sure that we are attentive to the opportunities that he's given us. Now, when you think about this lesson that we see, you know, when he called his servants together, in verse 14, he delivered unto them his goods. Now, when you deliver your goods to someone, you typically have to have a relationship in which you trust them. And if you trust them, then you know, you have an idea what they can do. So you give them tasks that they can complete. It's simple. Like if you have multiple siblings in a household, typically the oldest sibling gets the most difficult task to do. And then there's another sibling, then they get, they're kind of tiered according to that. You wouldn't give the youngest child the most difficult thing to do because you'll say you can't do it. But when you think about that, God always wants us to use our ability. And sometimes we just sit on our ability and we say we're not going to use it. We're not going to use it because we haven't been called upon. Or maybe sometimes we're not being challenged to do things that we would want to do. You know, for instance, if, you might like to preach, but maybe there's an opportunity for you to lead singing. You might say, I don't want to do that because I want to preach. Or maybe you have an opportunity to teach and you don't want to teach because you don't want to teach that particular age group. But if you have a talent, God expects you to utilize that because in the process of utilizing your talent, you will have a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. And that also shows and it demonstrates that you have spiritual understanding and wisdom, which we all need. Now, the next point I want you to consider is this. The Lord expects and demands our best. Look at verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, as you look at that and you think about how the Lord demands our best, notice he says, you know, hey, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. See, it shows us that we should not ask God for more if we're not willing to use what we already have. If we don't use what we have, he's not going to continue to give us more because, hey, if we get more, we're not going to utilize that, and hence we're going to be wasting it. It's just like a parent when you cook a good meal. They'll ask the child, how much food did you want to eat? They might start you off with a little bit because, you know, you don't want your food to be wasted. So once that child eats that food, they might tell you they want a lot. And if you give them a lot and then they don't eat it, then you look at them and, hey, at least in my household when I was growing up, if you asked for the food, once it was on your plate, you were going to sit there and eat the food. But when you think about that, you have to understand and know and take your time and understand that as you bring people along, as you help them to grow, as you encourage them to do what God would have them to do, it is a process. We see in this lesson that each of these individuals who had talents, they all had a responsibility to utilize that talent. But when you think about it, we see that the Lord expects and he demands our best. Yes. Verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. All right, look what he says. Look how he gives us an account of why he does what he does. He said, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo there thou hast that it is thine. Now, as you think about that, sometimes many of us can be like the person with the 1 talent. We can be afraid to step out on faith, to live by faith, to walk by faith, to do things that God will have us to do. Hence, we do the bare minimum and we say, you know what? I'm going to do good to make sure that I don't lose what I have. Now, when you take that mindset, it shows to God that you have a lack of faith, a lack of understanding. And sometimes in order to really please God, in order to really grow, we all must step outside of our comfort zone. If you step outside your comfort zone, you won't bury the talents and things that you have. So as we look at this, we see that, you know, it's interesting, the thought process of individuals. And I can look at myself and say to myself, I'm a very calculated person in the things that I do. For instance, if there's a job or something that I want, I kind of look at the job descriptions. I look at the qualifications. I really map it out and see, can I speak to these things? And oftentimes when I talk to my wife, you know, she encouraged me and say, you know, you may not have all those qualifications, but you have skill sets that you can obtain that job. And you should pursue that. And then when you think about that, sometimes I found myself, it's been an uncomfortable situation, but I've applied for some jobs that I didn't necessarily have all the skills, and I've got those jobs. And had my wife not encouraged me to do that, I may have still been sitting in a stagnant position. So never limit yourself. You know, if you have a brain, you have a mindset, you have the ability to learn, and you have an aspiration to pursue greater things, do that. You never know. When you are a Christian, you do have the favor of the Lord, and God is never going to allow you to get in a situation in which you cannot do the various things that you set out to do. Now, the next point is this. The Lord expects a return on his investment. See, many of us have IRAs, 401ks, and various saving plans, and we love to see a return on our investment because we're putting finances and things in there with the hopes that it's going to multiply, that it's going to grow, because we have a plan for our lives. Look at verse 25. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Now, when you look at that, I often wonder, why did the Lord call him wicked. You know, it appears on the surface that all he did was he didn't do anything. And the Lord viewed that as being wicked. He called him slothful, in other words, lazy. So he really didn't have a work. He didn't really have a patience of hope. It was just kind of like, I'm just going through the motion. All right, verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, if you had did those things, I would have received a return on my investment. Even if you were afraid to utilize what I have given you, you should still put it in a circumstance or a situation to where it can allow or potentially make additional gains. So we need to understand that we need to provide an investment on the talent that God has given us. Are we using that to God's glory and honor? Are we using that to our advantage? Are we using that to help us position ourselves to be what God would have us to be? Next point is this. If you don't use your ability, you will lose it. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. It's important that we use our abilities so we do not lose it. It's just like in sports. If you don't practice and do certain things, many times your skills will diminish. If you're in the workplace and you're not utilizing your skills, if you're not expanding your brain, you might find yourself in a job doing something and struggling to do something that was once easy because you become complacent. The next point I want us to consider is this. God will reward those who will utilize and maximize their ability. Verse 28 and 29 is an indication of that. Take further talent from him and give it unto him which have 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance, but from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, as you think about being rewarded for utilizing and maximizing your ability, we see the man who did not use his ability, his talent was taken from him and given to the person who had demonstrated that they had the capacity as well as the ability and desire to utilize what God has given them, and God was able to see an increase. We as the church must always make sure that we're striving to make an increase within the Lord's church and as we strive to make our calling and election sure. The last thing I want us to consider as we look at this lesson is this. God punishes those who do not maximize their abilities. Verse 30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I ask you tonight, are you profitable to the Lord's work? Are you profitable to the Lord's will? Because if you are an unprofitable servant, you will be cast into the outer darkness. But we've looked at scriptures that have shown us how we will never be unprofitable if we have a work of faith, if we have a labor of love, if we have a patience of hope. If we have spiritual knowledge and understanding, we will be able to do what God will have us to do. Now, as you think about this lesson, the giver of talent knew what each was capable of accomplishing. The moral of this lesson is this. We all will have to give an account of how we use our ability. Now, as you think about that, that's something that you must rationalize within yourself. If you had to give an account for your ability, would the use of your ability show that you are a focused person? I want you to look at something in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Bible illustrates that we have to give an account. And when we have to give this account, this is an accounting that's going to include all things that we have done. So it's important to make sure that we position ourselves so we can hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 and 14, the scripture says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So even the secret things will be brought out and we will have to give an account. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 10 and 11, the scriptures also remind us that when we give an account, that we're going to have to give an account for everything that we have done. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and our trust also are made manifest in your conscience. As you think about having to give an account for the Lord, how many of us would like to give an account with the Lord, showing that we were focused, we were about his business, we were focused on his purpose, and we wanted to do things his way? But as you think about doing things God's way, there's a good plan that you can follow. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, this is the last passage we'll look at, and this lesson will be yours. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start in verse 5, and I just want to kind of set it up by saying this. In Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not yet seen." Verse 6 of that same chapter says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verse 4, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We're going to get there if we do it God's way. But if we neglect to do what God will tell us to do, and we don't give the earnest heed, we will fall, we will stumble, we will be like the man who had one talent, who buried his talent, and as a result, he was cast out into the outer darkness. If you're here tonight, and maybe as you evaluate yourself when it comes to your talents and your abilities, maybe you say to yourself, "I could do more." If that's your conclusion, make the necessary changes. Repent of your ways and strive to do it God's way. Maximize your ability. Utilize that so he can make you a greater servant in his kingdom. Now, if you're here today, you never obeyed the gospel. Plan is simple. You need to hear, know, and understand that Jesus left heaven, came to earth, and died on a cruel cross for your sins. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." You need to believe that Christ came into the world to save sinners and died. He was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. If you're willing to do that, and you're willing to repent of your sins, turn your mind and attitude about doing things that's contrary to God's will, then you must be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and you will receive forgiveness of your sins. If you do that and you remain faithful, if you remain steadfast, if you continue to be unmovable and you always abound in the work of the Lord, your labor will not be in vain. You will hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." If you need a prayer, you know someone is, please come by. Together we stand and sing.